Hi everyone, this is Asiela Altaeva, and welcome to another episode of the FEMES Finance Podcast, where we explore the journeys of successful female leaders, founders, and investors from across the globe. We aim to champion women leaders from diverse sectors and industries in order to inspire you in your journey to financial freedom and career success. Thank you for listening to the FEMES Finance Podcast. Kanjina, welcome to the FEMES Finance Podcast. I'm so happy to see you. How are you feeling today?
Hello, hello. I'm actually very, very excited. And I'm great. It's literally snowing outside. I'm currently in Tajikistan. It's insane. But I'm feeling good.
I saw you were in United Arab Emirates because of the time you mentioned. Why didn't you write your time in Tajikistan time?
I was. I mean, it's only 1 hour different. I was actually in Dubai, in UAE, and I came to Tajikistan like yesterday. And like from plus 25, now I'm in minus 10, and it's really weird and cold, but feeling good.
Okay, that's a good thing. All right. So before we start the episode, can you please briefly introduce yourself and share your values with our audience?
Sure. Well, I am Ganjina. I come from a tiny city in Tajikistan, right in the heart of Central Asia. You would not believe the number of times I had to open up a map to show people where my country is. But despite its being a small size, Tajikistan is beautiful, gorgeous, and has like vibrant culture. So I am coming from a tiny city. Life, I would say, in my tiny city was very simple and laid back. But there was always this burning desire inside me for something more, something beyond the ordinary, I would say. When I was in Tajikistan, I was studying in Physical Mathematical Lyceum for gifted students, where I was surrounded by my classmates, super smart kids. But the only thing was that they already were starting families while still studying at school, which was really conservative, I would say, and weird for me. So for me back then, the idea of settling down so soon didn't feel right at all. So I wanted to explore the world, check out what's happening outside of Tajikistan. That desire and fire inside me led me to give a shot and try to apply to universities abroad. So that's where me doing undergraduate at New York University came in. So when I was 14, I decided to give it a try, and I honestly applied to New York University on a whim, never thinking I would actually get in. To my surprise, I actually got accepted to New York University in Abu Dhabi, becoming the first and the youngest student from Tajikistan to receive a full scholarship to pursue my undergraduate studies. So I feel like it was a dream come true, moving from Tajikistan, being a girl from like tiny city to pursuing my undergrad at one of the top 30 universities in the world. When people talk to me, they're like, oh my God, you did NYU. Yeah, it's such a young age. But oh God, let me tell you how hard it was. I feel like people listening to this would understand the struggle of doing undergrad, adjusting to a completely different education system and culture. It was such a roller coaster. I feel like I could talk about my undergrad for hours, but I would say the key takeaway was it prepared me for the challenges and opportunities of my entrepreneurship life. So that's what led me to start my startup, which is Planet Nine, which I guess we're going to talk a bit more. So that's kind of like my life.
That is super amazing, and I'm very happy to hear about that. And actually, I'm very interested to know, what did you study at New York University in Abu Dhabi, and how is it related to the startup that you're building right now?
That's actually a good question. Every single time people ask me this question, I don't know what to answer because I changed my major 5 times. I started from mathematics because I went to Physical Mathematical Lyceum back home. So I thought I was so good at it, you know. But then I moved to NYU and sort of continuing it. But then I realized that it's not my thing. From math, I changed it to art, political science. It was psychology. So it was a roller coaster. It was really a mix of everything. But then I ended up doing interactive media. It was a mix of computer science, engineering, and design. Basically everything I like, but tiny from each major. And it was a new major, I would say, that they opened during my sophomore year. So that's where I decided to do it. After graduation, I ventured, I would say, into the world of startups, where I worked in one of the leading edtech startups in the Middle East. Everything was amazing. I thought, like, I'm settling down with this job. Like, I found a good job. But I knew I wanted to make an even bigger impact. So that's where the idea of my startup was born, which is a fintech startup, even though I did not have experience in this, but I was like, let me give it a try because we love challenges. But yeah, just to give an information about my startup, it is a neobank pioneering remittance-based financing globally for migrants and their households through Send Now, Pay Later and Receive Now, Pay Later models. So we embed our solution into already existing banking platforms, money remittance operators, where the client comes in, can just go online or offline and get a loan in a couple of minutes with no documentation, nothing, basically only passport. So we are really focusing on like migrants and their households.
All right. May I ask you, why did you name it as Planet Nine? Also, how is the idea of creating a fintech startup focusing on migrant people came up to your mind? Like, why did you decide specifically focus on that problem and create a solution?
That's actually a good question. During my studies, because I was in UAE, I witnessed firsthand the challenges faced by migrants and their families in accessing financial services. So particularly when it came to remittance-based financing, me coming with a background in Tajikistan and me studying in UAE and me realizing that traditional banking systems were so slow, costly, and often out of reach, like for those who needed the most. So I would say it was kind of a stark a reminder of the inequalities that exist in our financial system. So after that, whenever I talk to someone, I always mention how migrants in their households, I don't like to say this, but how they suffer silently and there has to be someone that like should help them out. So it was during this time while I was actually working in my edtech startup in Dubai, before quitting my job, it was during this time that I met with my co-founders. And together we shared the vision of creating a meaningful change in the financial industry. So we met each other and I feel like we were inspired to launch Planet Nine as a platform to revolutionize financial services and empower migrants and their families worldwide. So all of us had the goal, very simple but ambitious, to provide innovative solutions that would improve the lives of millions and millions of people. So yeah, that's how the idea of Planet Nine came in. I feel like the naming took us forever to come up, honestly. So there is this hypothesis that the ninth planet exists, like a biggest one, but it hasn't been proven yet. So what we sort of doing is, hey, let's start proving this hypothesis by starting from a banking sector. So yeah, that's how the idea and that's how the name came.
You should definitely be proud of yourself. That's amazing. So my next question is about remittance-based financing. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with this concept, can you please explain us what is it and like how does it work, particularly based in your fintech startup?
Sure, yeah. Maybe I can just give an example of how things work so like listeners would actually understand better. So if we take a UAE, for example, a UAE case, let's say there's Ahmad who works in the UAE as a taxi driver. He earns around, let's say, 3,000 to 500 dirhams per month, which is around $1,200. But the thing is that, unfortunately, he's not able to get a loan or to open a bank account due to strict requirements imposed by banks. They require like minimum salary of like 6,000 dirhams, which is, if we take into consideration UAE, it represents about 5% migrants living in there. The only thing that makes Ahmad unique from other people would be his remittance data, him sending money back home to his family. So Ahmad's remittance data stands out as kind of a sole differentiator. So what we do is that at Planet Nine, we have our own AI deployed stack We analyze that data, the history of money transfers of him sending money back home, to determine the creditworthiness and assess his ability to repay loans over time. So the main aim here is to enable him enjoy his life in UAE, but at the same time to be able to help himself and his family while sending money back home. So basically, we check out him sending money back home, and only with that information, we're able to provide a loan to Ahmed and his family. So what happens in this case is that we have Ahmed's remittance data, basically transaction data. We partner with already existing banking platforms, like biggest banks in UAE or money remittance operators. So when, for example, Ahmed goes to send money back home, he can just right away get a loan and send it back home. He doesn't need any single document, only his passport, just for us to do identification. So it's really a new model of financing migrants and their households.
You mentioned that you are partnering up with very big banks based in UAE. And I'm curious to know, how does this process work? Also, maybe it's better to talk about your team as well, like how many people work in your team, what do you do together, and stuff like that.
We're currently operating in Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and UAE. But as you mentioned, we're really kind of like a baby startup yet, because we started like a year ago. So as for my team, we've been growing. So there are like around 13 people. So there is me, three more co-founders. All of us are from Tajikistan, but all of us have lived in UAE more than 4 or 5 years. Two of my co-founders are coming with their banking background. One of them was a CFO in one of the biggest banks in Tajikistan. Another one was a CEO in one of the biggest banks in Tajikistan. And the last one, he is a graduate at Stanford and Harvard University. So there are four of us. And then we have, of course, technical team, product management team, and everyone. But in regards to starting to operate in specific countries and starting to work with like these biggest banks, let me tell you, it was not an easy being a startup and us being a Gen Z startup, I would say, and us going to all those big banks and presenting our idea to kind of like start partnerships. But just to get Tajikistan as a case, indeed, my co-founders helped a lot for us to get all the partnerships. So the moment we got one of the biggest banks in Tajikistan here, it was a pass to get other banks as well. But it wasn't like a 1 day or 2 day process, you know, it took us like months and months. But our journey, I would say, even in Tajikistan started when we got accepted to Google for Startups Accelerator program. And that's where the 3 months intensive program came in, where it was just me, my team, working 3 months nonstop, not sleeping on the idea, on the technical part. But for UAE, also one more thing that really, really helped us to enter UAE market was when we got into FinTech Hive Accelerator program from the IFC. So that was kind of a bridge for us to enter the UAE market. I feel like these accelerator programs are so, so helpful. So we have two products. One product specifically focused for Central Asia, which is Receive Now and Pay Later for families of migrants. So for those families who receive money from abroad, like for example, people living in Tajikistan, them receiving money from abroad, they are the ones who we target and who we help. But in the case of UAE, for example, the product is Send Now and Pay Later for every single migrant living in UAE, like inside of UAE, living and working in there, and want to send money back home to help their families, like migrants from India, Pakistan, for example, them living and working actually in UAE and them needing some more financials to send back home. So we try to help in both ways. The markets are Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and UAE, but we are planning to expand to more countries.
How many people are actually using the platform, already sending money to their families back home? Is there any kind of like statistics that we can picture?
Yeah, so the operations already started in Tajikistan. So we started to giving out loans 2 months ago. So if we get daily statistics, it would be from 100 to 150 loans per day.
That's very impressive. And you frequently mentioned the word failures. So may I ask you what kind of failures you faced along your journey?
At some point of my life, I was such a bad perfectionist. I have to do everything. I have to do this. Like, no failure, no mistakes for me. Recently, like a year ago or a bit 2 years ago, I realized that failure is part of the process. You have to make mistakes. You have to strive to make mistakes in order for you to grow. So that's where I realized that embracing failure as a female founder in the startup is not only okay, but it's so essential. Because when you are a female founder, you are scared to fail and you are scared to do mistakes, thinking that people will judge you and will not accept you in a good way. But the moment you start failing, you would learn that you all of those kind of like journeys had to happen. I had a mentor. He used to emphasize the importance of making mistakes and having and failing every single day. He would say that the moment you don't hear about problems or challenges in your startup, that's where you should worry. So at first, this advice that he gave me was counterintuitive, but over time, I am starting to realize it's wisdom. So at Planet Nine, for example, because we are a startup, we have to test new hypotheses every single week. But hypotheses go wrong, or like marketing goes wrong. You have to embrace failure as a natural part. Even when I talk to my team these days, when things go wrong, usually they start apologizing. But I'm always there to say, like, hey, calm down. Like, you learned. It happens. It's just the process. Because technical things and all those things, of course, can go wrong. So it's just we take a note of the failure and the mistake and learn what can be done next time differently. We did some wrong things, website and everything crashed. So nothing was working from like starting from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. But thank God everyone was sleeping, so there weren't a lot of bad things happened at Planet Nine and us giving a loan, like in during the loan procedure, I would say. The good thing of it, you make a mistake, you fail, but at the same time you have to be like really fast in order to figure it out. I somehow programmed my brain to accept a failure not as a sign of weakness, but as a sign of pushing boundaries and breaking every single rule possible. So for me being a female founder and something inside me trying to prove things that girls can do more also kind of like puts me in a place that I should do more and I should not give up. And the good thing that I like about myself is that when I want to do something, I will do it in any way. And even failure at this point wouldn't stop. So I would say it's just me pushing myself and just starting to program my own head to tell me, hey, Gangina, you have to do more. Hey, Gangina, it's totally fine. You're just gonna get through this. Just keep going, keep going. And don't be harsh on yourself.
That's a great advice, but how do you think we can maintain the healthy level of pushing yourself? Because some people, I feel like they push themselves too hard to the level of burnout. And at the same time, there are some people who stay in the comfort zone and just stay as they were instead of developing themselves further. So I want to ask, how do you maintain this healthy level where you're like, you're not burning out, but at the same time, you're pushing yourself to the next level?
I'm still growing, I'm still learning. But the really good thing that happened to me was a year ago. Exactly a year ago, I was in my biggest burnout. I was very depressed. I didn't want to see anyone. I didn't want to talk to anyone, even though I had a startup. It was the moment where I just wanted to drop everything and just hide in a tiny room and not do anything. So what I did was I was really harsh on myself. I gained like 12 kgs or something. I wasn't working out. I wasn't talking to anyone. It was just me in my own room. But I feel like me starting to do yoga, me starting to talk to counselor, and me starting to accept the fact that I have so much strengths. I do have unique talents, and I do have so much potential. Just me telling this to myself and me listening to podcasts somehow got me out through all those dark days in my life. And I feel like you have to see the dark in order to start realizing all the light moments. You know, you have to go through all the negative things in order to see the positive things. You have to appreciate every single moment where you are in your lows. You have to go through it in order to see the highs, you know? So even though at those moments I used to hate myself, I used to hate everything around me, but I am really, really grateful for those days that happened in my life. They shaped the person I am now, and I know where I don't want to go back. I know that the position I don't want to go back to, and that's kind of is a motivation for me to work more and not go back.
Can you give us maybe two or three practical steps that helped you particularly to unlock your potential?
I had a very weird experience for some reason opening my full potential, because the story is that when we got accepted to Google for Startups Accelerator program, so it was the very, very first days of Planet 9 and me working on my startup with me having zero experience in banking. There were like 11 or 12 startups from Central Asia that worked intensively for 3 months with a mentor. So the thing is that I was the only girl that went on the first day. We had to present our startup and actually start the journey with Google for Startups Accelerator program. The moment which I will never forget in my life, there were like all these startuppers, men, talking about their ideas, having experiences like for 5, 10 years. But the moment I went to the stage and started presenting my Planet 9, my mentor, he stopped. He started shouting and he's like, "You are not talking. You are out and you are not continuing in this Google for Startups Accelerator program." Me being confused. Like, I quit my job in UAE and I moved to Tajikistan, you know. Us getting to Google for Startups Accelerator program was such a big thing. And mentor, GFS mentor, telling us that we are out from the program. Me shocked, not knowing what to do. Him just shouting and saying that you are a 21-year-old. How are you even being able to do this? Him being a 40-year-old mentor. He's really good, by the way. Like, I'm not saying anything. He was the one that opened my full potential. But he was just shouting at me. He's like, "Who the hell are you?" And in that moment, the program was in Russian. But me, like, living in UAE for like 6, 7 years, my Russian wasn't that good at that point of my life. So he's like, "First of all, you are from Tajikistan, so you have to talk in Russian. Second of all, you are out." And then he's like, "Third of all, the moment you are not talking, if you don't talk in Russian, you would be out." And I'm like, me? So surprised. Like, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what's happening? I'm like, I don't know Russian. And even my Russian wasn't that good. I will not be able to present Planet 9, especially all these banking things in Russian. And him being able, "No, no, no," just saying no, no, no to everything. And I'm like, okay. So he got us out. He's like, "Planet 9 is out." So basically, I didn't say anything. I was just burning. I was crying from inside. I'm like, okay. I went to the bathroom. I cried for like half an hour or so. And the presentation was over, was finished. Everyone presented. Everyone is happy. So the mentor goes out. And I'm like, "Hey, stop. I need to talk to you." So here, which I really like about myself, here the skill for me wanting something and doing it no matter what really helped. I'm like, "Hey, mentor, stop. I need to talk to you." He's like, "No, who the hell are you?" I was like, you cannot be this kind of aggressive to a girl. Like, are you a human being or a monster? He was indeed acting like a monster, I swear. But I was like, "No, you are talking to me. You stop." He didn't want to listen to me. He just left me. I started following him and I'm like, "No, you have to talk to me." So I'm like, but at that moment I was like, "Okay, Ganjina, you have to take yourself." I'm like, I just screamed at him. I'm like, "You stop. You have to talk to me. Like, who the hell are you to get me out of this program?" it's like me burning from inside, but then kind of like trying to be so self-confident and trying to prove him that Planet Nine is worth so more, really helped us to actually keep and stay and graduate from that program. Somehow, him shouting at me and getting all my anger outside really helped me to realize that I'm worth so much more and able to figure out these problems. For some reason, me getting out all of my anger really helped me to see that I'm worth much more. And then at the end of the program, where we became really good with mentor and him helping out with the process, and we still talk to him saying that it was his method to open up my full potential for some reason, a very aggressive method, by the way. So that's kind of how I realized that I can do banking. But if that situation didn't happen, I don't think I would be able, but it would take me longer time. If this story makes sense for all the girls out there, don't be scared and just start talking to them in a very self-confident way, no matter how scared you are.
That's a good reminder that you should not let people to assess you, to criticize you, or to say something that you cannot do this or that. They might be successful. They might be, you know, people who have achieved so much in life. But don't take those kind of criticisms personal. And if you really have a passion for something, keep doing it and don't let others to define your future. If you're facing this problem right now, believe me, a lot of people face it, but the ones who continue, we're gonna stay till the end. So please don't quit. Don't quit right now. Just keep going.
For sure. Do not let anyone stop you. If that moment stopped me, I wouldn't be here now. No matter how scared I was, I talked to that mentor, and I was able to get out of like the whole situation. So really being scared should not stop anyone.
All right. I think that's pretty much it. Is there any last word or kind of advice you want to share with young women listening to our episode right now?
Please, girls, don't let you being depressed, you being anxious, stop you in any way. Like, we can just get through it, you know? And all these moments are there in order to give us a lesson and for us to be able to actually do cool things. So I would say, don't be scared. Girls run the world. So we are here to do everything and change the world and make a really nice impact, I would say. So I hope it was fun. I hope like people listening to it would be like, oh, nice. Let me do it. Or let me open my startup. Or let me apply for a master's.
That's a great advice. Maybe I should also ask one more like little thing. So if there's anyone who's interested to join or help Planet Nine, is there any internship or job opportunities there? And how they can find those opportunities?
Well, that's a nice question. I actually, like last week, I started working with New York University to send us interns and graduates, because we're a startup, like we're moving super fast. So I would love to get interns on board to actually get more employees. Anyone who likes fintech or anyone who wants to work on any initiative related to fintech, I am always here. But the jobs, we always post on LinkedIn. So maybe I could share with you the LinkedIn of Planet Nine company. Or I guess if you post about this podcast, you can just tag me. And anyone who would be interested on working on a fintech startup, I would be happy to have you girls or guys, anyone listening to this.
So anyone who's interested in joining Planet Nine and working together with Ganjina, you can follow Planet Nine LinkedIn page or send a message directly to Ganjina. So thank you so much, Ganjina. It was really nice to talk to you. And thank you so much for sharing so many beautiful messages with our audience. And I really hope that this episode will inspire them to not give up, to continue breaking barriers, reaching their goals, and not letting anyone to stop them. Thank you so much, Ganjina, for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the FEMA's Finance Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, such as Spotify and iTunes. Thank you for always supporting us. Enjoy your day.